Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our study in Psalm 63, talking about the physical and the spiritual.
Yeah, so the title this week was More Than Bread. We started talking about just 29 palms, which, is kind of a euphemistic title because 29 palms makes you think of, lush palm trees. When you're actually there, you find out it's an absolute just desert wasteland, right? The Army sold it after World War II to the Corps to 48 cents an acre because it's just an absolute dump. There's no plant life. It's just a dry and weary land, as David is describing in Psalm 63, but it's just there's no plant life. It's in the summer it'll be 120, 125. In the in the winter it's 5 degrees, sleeping on the rocks with just wind. It's just a brutal place, and it's so such a dry, lonely place. Guys will wander off. That's a real thing there, where guys will just start walking and wander off, right? And that's what David's describing in Psalm 63. So last week we covered the, "Oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you." He says, "My soul thirsts for you." And then interesting verse, "My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." So my body longs for you. We made the point tonight that my soul thirsts for you. You can hear a lot of teaching on that, and that's a good thing. Not taking away anything from the teaching on that, but something like "my body longs for you," not often covered, where discussing just how the spiritual and the physical is all connected. And he's saying, my body longs for you. And we kicked off with going to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Where it says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna." I'm very excited for when we get to Psalm 78. I don't know how many more weeks it's going to take us to get there, but I'm very excited to get there just to cover manna and everything that can be learned from the dynamic of manna. It says, "So feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Now, this verse probably sounds familiar. If you're listening to this, because that is exactly what Jesus then said back to Satan when Satan was tempting him in the desert and was tempting him to turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Right? Now, it's an interesting dynamic because you see he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna to teach you the man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So he's teaching them a spiritual lesson through a physical need. There's a physical problem so that they'd be spiritually developed. Because then you see in verse 16, it says, "He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you." Mm-hmm. So they're getting an aspect of just development through this physical problem. This physical need is going to teach them a spiritual lesson.
Yeah, and it's important to realize that our spiritual being and our physical being are not mutually exclusive. They are one in the same. They are interconnected, mm-hmm. right? So to spend so much time focusing on one while neglecting the other, it's not wise, right? Like we talked about earlier tonight, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Right, we're spiritual beings currently in physical form.
Yeah.
Right, and so like we're gonna get further and deeper into detail on the spiritual is very interconnected with the physical, but as it pertains to this topic right here, the Lord loves you, and so He wants the best version of you possible spiritually and physically, and so He's gonna put you in scenarios where you are forced to develop, and there is pain points to where you can seek Him and have some development from there, because He's not just going to leave you as you are. He loves you so much that He wants you to be the best version of you. And so even though you have to go and get the manna and you're humbled because you need the manna, He's doing it so that at the end it might go well with you, right? Keep that in mind whenever you face physical problems, right? Whenever you face problems of many kinds, because at the end of the road, like you said, He is after your development, and He does love you, and He does want you to be at your best. But that's the process that He can take you through to get there.
Yeah, and I think talking about this topic of the spiritual and the physical being intertwined, it's we often see only things from the physical perspective.
It's, we're so limited.
Yeah, especially in today's culture where it's just so, it's so just everything, the physical, the touch. If we can't see it, if we can't touch it, we're so carnal, right? Our minds have become so carnal. And that's, I think there is a degree of just as the increase of wickedness happens, there's been also just kind of a disconnect of just understanding that everything is coming from the spiritual. Everything of importance is coming from the spiritual. And now you're seeing it happen in the natural. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? So that's the backdrop of what we're talking about tonight. That was the first point, was, you know, just everything being all connected here, and him saying, my body longs for you. Now, spiritual problems cause physical problems. So we talked about two different things tonight. We talked about spiritual problems cause physical problems, and we talked about spiritual breakthroughs bring physical blessings. Starting with the spiritual problems cause physical problems, we look first at Psalm 32, where you're seeing what's happening here with some unconfessed sin. Where Psalm 32, it says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity. I said, I'll confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's the biggest if in Scripture, is 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, right? So he's not confessing his sins here. And then there's the cost physically where his strength was sapped. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, you see what's happening where they're sinning against the body and blood of the Lord with what's going on in communion, okay? So they're sinning against the body and blood of the Lord, and it says, verse 30, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. So fallen asleep, that's what the Bible's talking about when a believer dies. Mm-hmm. So some people had been dying earlier than they should have been because of the sin, and it was also causing many, it says, many among you to be weak and sick. That was the consequence of this sin going on. Proverbs 17:22 gives you a good reminder that a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And then you see also in the Gospels where when people were dealing with demon possession, there would be a physical problem associated with that. Example, Mark 9, where I was demon possessed and that he couldn't speak because of that. It was giving him issues with just his speech because of that demon possession. So spiritual problems causing physical problems.
Yeah. And it's important to highlight that there's consequences. There what you like Bob pointed out tonight, you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. Right? And so there's real consequences, like you brought up from Galatians 5. If you sow to please the Spirit, hear the rewards and the benefits of that. If you sow to please the flesh and you sow sin, what you're going to reap from that is the wages of sin, which is death and which is physical problems and dying before you're supposed to, right? So the Lord's making this clear, like this is not something to play with. You want it to go well for yourself, yet have your spirit right. If you have sin, confess it. Have a right relationship with the Lord, because the blessing that comes from it is you're spiritually in a healthy place, and for that, you'll physically be in a more healthy place,
right?
And the opposite is also true. So yeah, it's something to take seriously and understand. There's cause and effect. There's consequences, positive and negative.
Yeah, and we finished that concept with 1 Corinthians 6, where it says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So it's saying, in the case of sexual sin, you're sinning directly against your own body with that. So spiritual problems causing physical problems. And then we talked about spiritual breakthroughs bring physical blessings. So Psalm 18:32 says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. So he's getting strength, speed, and skill from just the blessings of God. We talked about our aspect of responsibility with that. Because we have free will, this is not some kind of one-way street where this exists as just boom, God's going to give it to us and we do nothing, right? We are active in this process because we have to take responsibilities as people with free will that can do whatever we want to do. So it's something that you have to be active with. So it's God that enables him to do this. He enables me to stand on the heights, right? He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend above bronze. But you're not sitting there passively doing nothing with this, thinking that this is going to be something that is just, you know, that you are not an active participant in, right?
Yeah. Another verse that reminds me of that one from Psalms is Habakkuk 3:19. It says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights." Right. So there's an aspect of we become exceedingly and abundantly more than we are capable of on our own when we rely on the Lord and when we are right in our spirit. Right. And I think that, you know, on the topic of spiritual breakthroughs leading to physical blessings, I think at a certain point, there has to be a level of maturity to where you can have those spiritual breakthroughs. And I you point out to it in one, just having responsibility and doing your part. But I think it's all the more reason to have the Holy Spirit so that beyond just your flesh, you can have the mind of God, the Spirit of God. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him and he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," right? So when it comes to, you know, having your spiritual side right, leading to the physical blessing, I think a lot of it is to do with the mind and what is the mind fixated on, right? Because if your mind is led by the Holy Spirit, you can discern things spiritually and think on another level and handle yourself better. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, that's, I think, when you get into, you know, very carnal traps to where you're only thinking by your senses and you're only thinking carnally by the flesh, which leads you into a circle to where you're experiencing those things, you know, unconfessed sin. You're not being prompted to confess, you know, physical consequences because you're not discerning things spiritually or acting in a spiritual nature. You're not thinking on that level.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, talking about, you know, because you're referencing kind of, okay, what would lead to the spiritual breakthrough, right?
Yeah, your part, right? I think having the Holy Spirit helps so much in doing your part.
Yeah.
And taking responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. You see in Joshua 14, that's an example where it says that, you know, Caleb, though he was 85 years old, because he had followed the Lord wholeheartedly, his strength was the same as it had been before the Israelites began their wanderings in the desert. He was still able to take on the Anakites and take over Hebron, which is, you know, if you read through this, is a pretty cool story. And then James 5, which hopefully everybody's familiar with. So James 5 tells you, is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So once again, there's that aspect of confession there. So that should not be missed, right? Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So James 5 there, you see the sick person being healed, and then referencing just gifts of healing from 1 Corinthians 12. We know that's an important gift in the church. We talked about this tonight, that we had a kid in here where he'd been dealing with something where he had seen multiple doctors and there was no answer for it, and it only seemed to be getting worse. And then he was trying different just anecdotal things and nothing was getting better. And that was something that then we were praying about in small group and still not getting an answer to prayer on. And at a point of just you know, frustration with that, then we brought him up in the middle, laid hands on him, prayed over him, and that entire situation has turned around for him, and there's been healing with that, right? So the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, right? So those spiritual breakthroughs bringing physical blessings, right? So that's what we've been talking about tonight, right? The spiritual and the physical being intertwined. You cannot be separating the two. And we wrapped up then in John 4, where there's a really cool section of scripture where his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." This is John 4:31. But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." His disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And then he talks about sowing and reaping as harvesting the crop for eternal life. This is just off of him talking to the Samaritan woman. That's what's just been happening, where he's been talking to the Samaritan woman and she's believing. And then this leads to many Samaritans believing, where he stays there two more days and many believe. So what Jesus is telling you there is that, just like we started, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what Jesus is doing here is doing exactly what he came to do, seek and save the lost, and walking in that purpose is feeding him, right? "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And we talked about that tonight, but there's statistically more people worried, anxious, discouraged, depressed, suicidal, acting on that suicide than any other time in human history. And one of the things that we can gather about this is that a lot of that is seemingly caused by people who are directionless. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing in life. They don't know what steps they're supposed to be taking. They don't have ambition. They don't have goals. They don't have a clear-cut purpose. And how would they know that, from what you were just talking about before, if you don't have the Spirit of God, where the Holy Spirit is there to direct your paths and be that power underneath your feet to guide you in what you're supposed to be doing? So it goes much more beyond the natural, where "my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work."
Yeah. And I think one of the aspects of people not knowing what the will of God is for their life is they're too afraid of being bored. They're too afraid of just having some silence in their life to where they can listen and receive whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing, to where they can hear the Lord. You know, I think some time in prayer is, you know, being silent and having some boredom. Not that it's agony, but it's, you know, just quietness and stillness, right? And so if you don't have that in your life, and you don't take time to deeply think about those things, to find those answers and seek the Lord on it, you're not going to get an answer, and you are going to be aimless, and that'll lead to serious spiritual problems like depression, which can manifest into the outer physical problems, right?
Right.
Like we're seeing. And so understand that, one, you have to humble yourself to actually seek that out, but two, like you talked about in Deuteronomy, the Lord wants to develop you, right? Like you just said, there's some action that comes with it. Jesus says to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, right? There's some work required. And so you can't expect things to be handed to you. You talked about the story about Jesus where he sends Peter to fish and get the coins from the fish so that they can pay, right? And so understand that that's how the Lord is. He's not going to bless lazy. He's not going to bless entitled. There has to be a spirit of humility and a spirit of work, a spirit of action that he can bless, right? But if you're walking in integrity with that, all of a sudden you're incongruent spiritually. You're incongruent with your walk with the Lord. And yeah, physical is going to be all the more. You know, you're going to be the best version of you that God intended and benefit from that and be blessed by that.
So that's the Monday Night Pod for this week. More Than Bread. Tyler Fenske. We'll see you guys next week.